table. Its pages are worn and hard to read, but that family Bible on the table will always be my key to memory.
I can see us sitting around the table.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another Today's Health Update, another week. It is Monday, so you know today is all about Monday school. For those of you just tuning in, maybe for the first time, I always dedicate Mondays to the Word of God. Why? Because God promised us if we put Him first, if we make Him a part of everything we do, if we try to please Him, because that's what He said. He said, I made all things for my pleasure. He did that. He wants us to give Him pleasure. Well, how do we give Him pleasure? It's pretty simple. Learn the Word of God, study the Word of God, and then try your best. You'll never be perfect, but try your best to live according to His Word. If you do that, God will be pleased. And let me tell you something else will happen. If you read throughout the Old Testament, those that put God first, that made God a part of everything they did, they succeeded. Do you want to succeed? I hope so. Of course, there's lots of ways to succeed, but the most success you'll ever have comes from doing things righteously. What does that mean? That means right. Trying to do what's right for your fellow man, for your fellow woman, for your business, for your life. If you do what's right, I always told my son something, you can't go wrong doing right, and that's the truth. We've been going through the book of Proverbs, all right? Proverbs is wisdom, and we finished last week, if you're going to follow along in the King James Version, which is what I teach, straight from the King James Version, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, and I'm going to do that today, picking up with chapter 8, Proverbs chapter 8. I ended last week with verse 23, so I'm going to start there this week just to remind you of kind of what we're learning here. But I want you to understand something. What I do is I want you to understand the Word of God. A lot of you were like me. I went through my whole life, and fortunately I was raised in a Christian family. We were involved in church big time. So I read the Bible a lot. But you know what? I caught myself a lot of times thinking, I don't understand that. Some of the words in the King James Version don't make a lick of sense to me, or didn't back then. They're beginning to now. But you know, if that's the case for you, if you've always thought, man, there's got to be more to it than what I know, than what I'm reading, you're right. The Bible also tells us, Jesus said, study to show yourselves approved. What does that mean? That means study the Word of God and learn exactly what that message is, because it's a message. All language is a message. How well you interpret it, how well you understand it, has a lot to do with diction. Do you understand the words? So one of the things I do is I take the words that could be confusing to you, and I make them easy to understand in modern English. I'm doing a book. It's going to be called Start With Wisdom. If you're interested in having one of those books, I'll let you know when they're available. They're not yet. We haven't even gone to the printer yet, but it's going to be printed. I've already pretty much finished the book. I just got to put some final touches on it before I turn it into the printers. But here's my point. The first, it's going to be the King James Version of Proverbs, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. But after I give you the King James Version of the verse, I'm going to give you the modern English without changing what God was saying, what the message is. I'm not trying to change it, because God told us not to change the message. But I'm going to make it easy for you to understand. I've had so many people already telling me that I send Start With Wisdom to every morning. And I do send it to about 100 people every day. A verse out of Proverbs that I break down from King James into English modern. And people are telling me, Roy, for the first time in my life, that verse makes sense. Well, of course it does. When you understand it in your own language, it'll start to make sense. We ended last week with chapter 8, verse 23, so we'll pick up there. And I'm going to start with that verse, even though I covered it last week, and give you both the King James Version, which says, I was set up from everlasting, talking about wisdom, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. You see, wisdom was here even before God created the earth. Isn't that interesting? In modern English, it would say, I, Christ, you might say, was with him from eternity, because Christ is wisdom, from the beginning, or even the earth was formed. Now, I teach what I believe to be absolute fact, and I can back it with the Bible. I won't teach you anything that's biblical without being able to back with the Bible, but I teach my people and everybody that listens that there are three earth ages. Not three earths. It's the same old earth that was here millions and millions of years ago. That's why you find dinosaur bones and buildings. It's before humans, as we know, the flesh humans today. But, you know, they were here first, and we were here in our spiritual form. That was the first earth age. But then we passed into the second earth age in Genesis chapter 1. After verses 1 and 2, we fell into what was the beginning of the second earth age, or like I like to call it, the flesh age. It is the flesh age. Why do I call it that? Because God put us here from our spiritual bodies. We were born into a flesh body. The spiritual body is still in our flesh body, but it's here. And we're going through the flesh age now, and God is testing us to see, will we follow Satan or will we follow him? That's the big plan. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 24 is where we left, where we're picking up this week. It says, now he's telling that he was here before the earth was formed. He says, in 24 says, when there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water. Modern English would say, before there were oceans, wisdom was already at work. There were no springs or creeks flowing with water. So right from the beginning, folks, there's no doubt that this is the beginning of the creation of earth as we know it today. 25 says in King James Version, before mountains were settled, before the hills was, I brought forth. He's just telling you he was the creator. In other words, modern English, before the mountains were established, even before the hills, I was. Verse 26, while I was yet, he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. He's just letting you know it's the beginning, even though at that time he had not yet made the earth, nor the groves, nor even the dust on the highest places, top of the mountains. There was no dust yet. He had not made that. 27, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. Wisdom was there, folks. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth. In other words, when God set the heavens in place, when God set the horizon and disperse the darkness. Ah, wisdom was there. Verse 28, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep. In other words, when God formed the skies above, when God established the waters and the depths of the earth, wisdom was already present. He was right there with God. Christ was right there with his Father. Verse 29, when he gave to the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the fountains of the earth. Now, here's one of those verses that'll help you to understand modern English. You can read it in the King James while I read it modern English. It would say, when God gave the oceans their boundaries that the waters could not overcome his command, when he laid the foundations of the earth. Oh, you're going to hear those foundations of the earth on throughout the Bible when you read it. And I want you to remember, it's talking about the catabo. That's where he's either talking about where he formed the earth in the beginning, which is what he's talking about here, before even the spirits were here, even before our souls were here, or he's talking about the catabo, which is the overthrow. And that's where Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 comes in. We'll get to that another day. Chapter 8, verse 30, King James Version, talking about all those things he's already mentioned there. He says, then was I by him. Wisdom was right there by him. As one brought up with him. In other words, I've always been there. And I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. Modern English, he's saying, in the beginning, I was beside the Creator. As one of his children, on that day, I was his delight, celebrating everything before he created time. Wow. So how good is wisdom? Well, it's always been here. That's pretty good. Proverbs 8:31 says, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth. So here's wisdom. Enjoying the habitable part of his earth. Notice that's a capital H on his. That means God's earth. And my delights were with the sons of men. Uh-oh. Now we're getting into the spirit part. You see, when we were on the first earth age, on this earth, the first earth age, when he placed us here, we were in spiritual form. Now, we had a body. It just wasn't flesh. It had makeup. It had firmness because he could leave footprints, but it was different. So let's read 32. Now, therefore, hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. What's he telling us? He's saying, now listen and obey my instructions, young ones, because those who observe my way of life will be happy. Verse 33, hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. In other words, listen to instruction and gain wisdom and do not resist it. You ever met somebody that just didn't want to learn anything new? They didn't want anything to do with wisdom? That's who he's talking to here. Pay attention. You want him to be happy with you. You want him to be pleased with you. 34, blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. Now remember, when he says man here, it's not gender. It's man or woman. It's human beings. That's what he's saying. He said, blessed is the human beings is why you should say it. So I'm going to read it a little different, modern English. Blessed are the people that listen to me. That's what heareth me means, listen to me. That stay alert. In other words, they're paying attention. On guard, waiting at the entrance of my doors. What's he telling us here? He's really going to be happy with the people that wants to learn more. That's excited about knowing the truth. And he is going to, with the best he can, teach us how to enjoy this wonderful creation that he has made for us. So we get to verse 35, chapter 8, Proverbs says, for whoso findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. That's pretty easy to understand, right? Let's go about it in modern English. It says, for those that discover me find life and will be acceptable to the Lord. Do you want to be acceptable to the Lord? Seek wisdom. Remember, it's more precious than silver or gold. 36, but he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul, and they that hate me love death. Now, there's a powerful verse of Scripture. when you find people that resist wisdom, that resist God's word, that think that God's a lie, that they don't believe in God, an atheist, that's who he's talking to. Listen to what he says in modern English. But those that sin against me harm their own life force. That's what your soul is. It's your life force. And those that shun me are friends with death. I hope you're not one of those. All right, that's the ending of chapter 8. Great book of Proverbs. I hope you're enjoying this. Let's go to chapter 9, verse 1, without hesitation. Wisdom hath builded her house. She has hewn out her seven pillows. In other words, wisdom has established her household. She cut out of it seven columns. Okay, she cut out its seven columns that's holding her up. Verse 2, chapter 9. Book of Proverbs, King James Version says, she hath killed her beast, she hath mingled her wine, she has also furnished her table. In other words, she has slaughtered her cows. That's how we'd say it in modern English. She has mixed her wine. It says mingled, it means mixed. She has also set her table. In other words, she's prepared a place for us. Verse 3, she hath set forth her maidens. She crieth upon the highest places of the city. In other words, wisdom has sent out her what? Her servants. She announces from the highest places of the city. The question is, are you willing to listen? Or do you really want to be a part of wisdom? Because if you do, she's crying out to you. That's what she's doing. So, let's go to verse 4. Whose is simple? Let him turn in hither. Whoso is what that is simple. In other words, simple-minded. I would say naive, maybe. As for him that wanteth understanding, she hath said unto him. In other words, if you're easily deceived, come unto me. As for those that desire understanding, she explains. Verse 5, King James Version, come, let my bread. I'm sorry, come. Eat my bread and drink of the wine which I have mingled. In other words, come on, partake of my food and drink of my mixed drinks. Now, we're not talking about actual food and beverage here. We're talking about wisdom. We're talking about knowledge. We're talking about understanding. Okay, verse 6, forsake the foolish and live. Go in the way of understanding. In other words, reject those who are easily enticed and live a better life. Follow the path of God's instruction. That's what understanding is. Understanding is God's instruction. Chapter 9, verse 7. He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. What is that saying to us? Well, basically it's saying anyone that corrects a mocker causes themselves confusion. You ever been in confrontation with a mocker? They just mock and shame everything you say. That's what it's talking about. And then the last of that verse in modern English would say, and anyone that punishes an ungodly person brings themselves injury. Listen, if they don't care about God, trust me, they're not going to care if they hurt your feelings or not. They're not going to care if they hurt you physically or not. Verse 9, reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. There, and that's giving you a contrast here. Modern English would say, do not try to reason with a mocker, for he'll become an enemy. But discipline a man who loves the Lord, and he will be a friend to you. That's modern English. Verse 9, give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. In other words, give correction to a wise person, and they'll gain more wisdom. You ever notice that? Those that want to learn, they learn. They have a craving for it. They have a hunger for it. And then it says, teach a righteous person is what he's talking about when he says a just person. That's a righteous person, those that try to do right. Teach a righteous person, they will add to their knowledge. I like being around those people. Verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Remember, we've had this before in Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Well, remember what fear means. In modern English, that would be the reverence or love of the one true God is the beginning of wisdom. Not to fear God. He don't want you to fear him. He wants you to love him. And listen to this, and to have knowledge of the Holy One is to understand. Do you want to understand? That's a choice you've got to make. It is up to you. So the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Or, as I say, and to have knowledge of the Holy One is to understand. All right, verse 11. To know the wisdom of God will multiply days and the quality of your life increased. Listen to this. Yes, he says in modern English, by knowing me, your days will be made great and the quality of your years will be much improved. That's what that verse is telling us. You want to add years to your life or quality of years to your life? Well, then seek wisdom. Find wisdom. Make it more important to you than jewelry, than anything else that you could possess. Verse 12, if thou be wise, that's a question, thou shalt be wise for thyself. But if thou scornest, thou alone shalt bear it. What does that mean? Basically, it's saying this. If you choose wisdom, which is God's word, you'll reap the benefits. But if you mock God's word, you alone will suffer. Nobody else is going to suffer for your sins. God's not going to hold you accountable for your mother or your father's sins or anybody else's sins. He's going to hold you accountable for your own sins. And to resist wisdom is sinning against your own flesh. Verse 13, a foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing. Now, I want you to think about this as we go through this one. A rebellious person, so it could be male or female, is troubled. A rebellious person is troubled. They are undisciplined and understand nothing. That's what it's telling you. That's what that verse is telling you. Verse 14, for she sitteth at the door of her house on a seat in the high places of the city. Basically, for a foolish person dwells at the entrance of the town where everybody's coming in and passing through on a seat of authority. Wisdom sits on the seat of authority, all right, but you got to look at the other side of that, okay? A foolish person will be there also trying to do what? To deceive you, to get you to go in the wrong direction. Verse 15, to call, what's she doing at that gate? To call passengers who go right on their ways. In other words, to summon the travelers who journeyed through life and happened to come that way. Verse 16, whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. And as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, I'm going to read the next one too, 17, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. Now let me give you modern English of verse 16 first. Those who are naive, let them enter. As for those that want wisdom, the message is, and in modern English, verse 17, stolen items come easy, and things gotten through deceit make you feel good. Have you ever noticed that? Boy, it's sometimes so much fun to sin. It seems like the right thing to do, to go against wisdom, to go against knowledge, and it may feel good in the beginning, but it don't end good. You know what I'm talking about. Verse 18, but he knoweth not, talking about people that follow foolishness, but he knoweth not that the dead are there and that her guests are in the depths of hell. Modern English, that verse would say, but those who get involved don't understand that their death is near, and those who go along are headed for the grave. That's what hell means in this particular verse of Scripture. It means the grave. It means you're headed toward an early death. I don't know about you, but I want to live as long as I possibly can. There's so much to learn from Proverbs. It should be exciting to you that we're going through this chapter by chapter and verse by verse. All right, now that you understand how important wisdom is, let's go to Proverbs chapter 10, verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. That's a little bit hard to understand. If you read it and don't think about it long enough, you can figure it out. But modern English would say, wise sayings of Solomon. A wise child causes their parents to rejoice, but a foolish child causes grief to their parents. Verse 2, treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. You know, you may gain something by doing wicked things, or you may feel like you are. You may be having excitement and fun, but it don't profit very much. So modern English would say, holding on to evil has no value, but acting according to God's standard saves from death. That's pretty easy to understand. You got to choose. It's all about a choice. Are you going to follow God, or are you going to follow Satan? Are you going to follow wisdom, or are you going to follow man's traditions? Verse 3, the Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, but he casteth away the substance of the wicked. In other words, the only true God will not allow the soul of the upright or innocent to hunger, but he drives away the desires of the ungodly. What is that? That's the guilty. That's what he's talking about. You don't want to be a part of the guilty. You don't want to be a part of the ones that's going in the wrong direction. Think that through, you know. Try to do what's right. Try not to be guilty. Chapter 10, verse 4. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. Now, modern English, that means this, real simple. Those who perform deceitful acts will become oppressed. That's what it means. But those who work honestly and diligently will create success. Isn't that more exciting? I think you would all agree that it is more exciting, to do it God's way, to do it the way that really matters the most. And that's the ways that build you up instead of tearing you down. Verse 5 of chapter 10, he that gathereth in summer is a wise son. But he that sleepeth in the harvest is a son that causeth shame. In other words, those who gather in season, that's what it means. Summer means in season. When is harvest? It's in the season. Those who gather in seasons in the summertime are successful. But those that sleep during harvest are people that cause disgrace. Think that one through. Do you want to cause disgrace? Be a lazy person. That's what it's talking about. And by the way, God don't care much for lazy people. You read the Bible, you'll figure that out real quick. Verse 6, blessings are upon the head of the just, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. What's that telling us? Blessings are upon the head of those that what? That follow God's law. That's why you need to know the Bible. But destruction hides in the speech of the ungodly. You know, you just can't get around it. If you do things God's way, you will be blessed. If you do things man's way, man's traditions, in other words, you're listening to people that's teaching stuff, but it's not biblical, you're going to be in trouble. So blessings are upon the head of those that follow God's law, but destruction hides in the speech. And the speech, and the mouth, and the speech of the ungodly. Verse 7 is where we will probably end today. It says, the memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. Ooh, that's powerful. In other words, the memorial of the righteous is a blessing, but the name of the ungodly will rot. You know what rot means? It just won't amount to anything. It will just disappear. It will go away with the ages. You know, I certainly appreciate all of you listening to today's Health Update. It's such a pleasure to bring it to you. Tell other people about this program. I'll be really excited if you do. Keep on reading God's Word. Keep on praying and watch God make your life better. Again, thank you for listening to today's Health Update. Until next time, may God continue to bless all of us with abundant health.
As I said earlier, thank you for choosing to listen to today's Health Update. If you like what you heard, please consider sharing it with others who need to know the truth. To hear this or any of Roy's shows, go to www.podbean.com, www.podbean.com. And remember, you can learn more by going to our website, www.nhcherbs.com. That's www.nhcherbs.com. Or you can call to get more information at 256 757-0660.